Right, so if any of you were expecting a Halloween sermon, I've got something a bit more wicked for you today. A couple of reasons on that. Look, it's not like the US here. I'd hope no one here even contemplates celebrating, in inverted commas, Halloween, getting into, you know, getting their kids into costumes, celebrating the dead and demons and witches and all that absolute wickedness. So personally, I don't feel there's necessarily a need every year on that here. Like in the US, it's unbelievable, isn't it? But we don't have that here. And there's going to be a lot of good sermons for you guys to check out if you want to listen about that. I'm sure there's probably a lot of sermons going on in a few hours' time. It's going to be about that subject. But today we're going to be looking at something else. If you look down at Romans chapter 1 and from verse 24, I just want to look at this passage again. Romans chapter 1 and from verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And we've been going through for the last several weeks, we went through a Sunday evening series called Sins That Get You Kicked Out of Church. And it was a Sunday evening series. And we looked at fornication, we looked at covetousness, idolatry, railing, drunkenness, extortion, causing divisions and offences, and then finally refusing church judgment. And I said at the end of that service, well, if anyone can think of any others. And I went to the back of the church and straight away I remembered the one thing that I'd actually thought about before I wrote the series and had forgotten to preach on. And that is this particular title, which is Sins That Get You Kicked Out of Church, Sodomy and Similar Vile Affections. So the title of my sermon today is Sins That Get You Kicked Out of Church, Sodomy and Similar Vile Affections. On that, we're just going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear you make subjects such as this, where the world says one thing, but your word says something else. Lord, we know what we want to listen to. I hope everyone here wants to listen to what the word has to say about this, what you have to say about this, Lord. I just pray right now that everyone just has attentive ears, attentive hearts. It just puts away preconceived ideas and just listens to what you think about this subject, what you think about this horrendous sin. Lord, help me to preach this clearly, boldly, accurately. Please fill me with your spirit, Lord. Help everyone to just listen clearly and keep the distractions to a minimum. In Jesus' name, pray all this. Amen. So, sodomy and similar vile affections. What is sodomy? Well, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Which has a pretty disturbing story that takes place in a place called Sodom. And that's where the word originates from. And the word that really is the biblical word is sodomite. A sodomite, the word comes from the city Sodom and what happens here and from this story specifically. But we get the word sodomy from that as well. So in Genesis chapter 19, God's about to destroy this wicked place. Now, you don't have to turn up in the chapter before, in Genesis 18:20, he explains, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous." He said their sin is very grievous. Now, he agrees with Abraham to spare the city if there are just 10 righteous people there. And there aren't even 10 righteous people there. And you say, well, not everywhere has righteous people. When we say righteous people, we're talking about the saved, okay? Because you're only righteous ultimately by salvation, by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's not even 10 righteous people, yet Abraham's nephew Lot has been living there for a long time now. And sadly, he hasn't, it seems, got anyone barring maybe a couple of family members, if so, saved. He sends two angels in there to check the place out. It says in verse 14, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." So these angels have come in. Lot's kind of seen them at the gate, kind of the entry to the city. He said to them, "Please come into my house." They say, "No, we're going to stay in the street." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So this isn't just dirty old men. This is young, it says here. Now, it did say men, so I don't know how young we're talking here. But it did say that the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They're coming from everywhere. Okay, these people are coming to this house. What is it they're coming to do? Just to greet the angels, maybe? Just to come and say, "Oh, we've got some newcomers, you know, guys, let's bring you a couple of gifts." Well, let's read on. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, that is a euphemism for doing vile, unnatural things unto them. Okay, bring them out that we may know them. Now, notice they said the men. They didn't say the angels. So these angels appear like a man would appear. These guys know that there's basically, sorry for want of a better expression, fresh meat in there in this wicked place. And they've just surrounded the house. They bring them out so we can do vile, disgusting things to them, that we may know them. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." No, it's not that they want to shake hands with him, okay? I don't think it would take really the Bible scholar to know exactly what it is that these men want to do, okay? The Bible just doesn't set out disgusting things like that, clear as day for us. Thank God for that. And the next, he said, "And pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Then we see after that the sort of depravity that is a result from spending so much time living amongst these people. Verse 8 says, "Behold now," this is Lot speaking to these vile Sodomites, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again this, in fact, before we do, let's just stop for that verse for a second. You can read this. You could read through this chapter and just go, what on earth, can't you? What on earth? Lot's offering his two young daughters to these guys instead of letting them get to these angels. And you're thinking, what sort of a father does that? And the Bible's not encouraging this, in case, you know, some people here haven't read the Bible much and think, well, every story must be, you know, of God or something else. And no, by the way, we're not Calvinists here. And we don't believe that God ordained that and ordained that sort of attitude of Lot to do that. But what that is that's the result of living amongst these people. That's the result of spending so much time. He's calling them brethren. Okay, he calls them brethren. He said earlier, and I said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." That's what happens when you spend too much time with these sorts of people, right? Okay, to the point where he's now offering his daughters. Now, what's interesting is that he still obviously sees this act as so disgusting that he's offering his daughters instead, okay, of saying, well, okay, I'm just going to have to let you get to these angels. Anyway, let's continue. "And they said, stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." You heard that before, eh? Judge not, judge. How dare you judge us? How dare you judge us? How dare you? You've come in to be amongst us, and now you're judging? "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. These guys want, you know, they're adamant they're going to get what they want, right? "But the men put forth their hand," let's talk about the angels, "and pulled Lot into the house of them and shut to the door." So they've pulled him in, shut the door. "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness." Okay, these Sodomites, they've been made blind. And this is obviously some miraculous power that these angels have. They smote them with blindness, both small and great. And don't miss the end of this verse. "So that they wearied themselves to find the door." These guys are so just eaten up with their lust that they've just been made blind and they're still trying to find the door of the house. They're wearying. They're so intent. They're so driven by this vile lust that they're still trying to get in and break down the door. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? So what happens after that? Well, Lot ends up fleeing with his daughters. But jump forward to verse 24, and just for sake of time, jump forward to verse 24. So he ends up fleeing, the angels get him out, the daughters come with him. Then the Lord, verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And that was the end of Sodom, okay? It got burnt to the ground. Everything that grew there, the whole lot got razed, okay? But the place is used as an example and has been since throughout the Bible as an example to others, you know, of what happens to what can come to a place, obviously about this sort of wicked type of sin and everything else. And Sodom is where the word sodomite comes from. It's quite a clear example of what that is, yeah, what it is these guys were doing. Now, there will be the literal Bible-denying type who will claim that the issue is actually the rape, not the sodomy. Anyone ever heard these sort of the guys come out of this stuff before? Yeah, one or two, okay. So they'll go, no, it wasn't sodomy. It was the fact that they were rapists. That was the problem, okay? Well, turn to Jude. Anyone heard the ones that say, oh, it was maybe, it was more about the sins mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 16? Anyone heard that one before? Yeah, a couple have heard this one before. Well, while you turn to Jude, I'm going to read Ezekiel 16, verse 49, which says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Oh, that must have been why God rained down fire and brimstone on them. Well, but these were precursors, weren't they? Because the next verse says, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, it's because of the abomination, and we can see that this is an abomination. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Okay? No, it had nothing to do with the other things. They were precursors to what was the vile abomination that resulted in God raining down fire and brimstone. The abomination was sodomy. Now look at Jude, where we're warned about these sorts of people. And it's talking specifically about the infiltrating types. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And look, there are many parts of our faith. This sort of truth does need preaching now more than ever, doesn't it? Okay, look at the state of the world right now when it comes to this sort of truth and how opposite the mainstream view is, it seems, to what the Bible says, or at least what they claim the mainstream view is anyway. Verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that's basically queer flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, what strange flesh? Not normal. Queer, okay? Something that's not what the normal people do. That's what they were doing, going after strange flesh. What was the result? Well, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I had a quick look at an email last night. We were just chatting about some of the emails I get, and one guy trying to deny everlasting torment. And he tried to say that, look, see, it wasn't an everlasting fire in Sodom. No. They went into the everlasting fire. Anyway, it was just one of these guys trying to argue with the Bible. But anyway, point being that these Sodomites are eternally burning, obviously, forever. And they're an example to others, okay? They should be example to all. What happened to Sodom is an example, okay? The Bible keeps talking about, Jesus spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah in multiple times, talking about saying, look, people denying it could be even worse for you, these people that were being given over to reprobate minds in Judah at the time. Now, here this is a New Testament, isn't it? Telling us that Sodom and Gomorrah are an example to us. Agreed? Yeah? Anyone wondering if they're in the New Testament or not? Because you hear this one as well. It said in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Okay, they defile the flesh. And here it's talking about likewise. These sorts of infiltrator types are the same types of people. Now, it's pretty clear what sodomy is, right? Okay, going after strange flesh. We've seen in Romans 1, men with men working that which is unseemly. Even the women, okay, change the natural use. Okay, it's pretty clear. What are the similar vile affections I'm talking about then? The other strange flesh. Well, turn to Leviticus chapter 18, which has a pretty handy list of which the vast majority are vile affections. I'll try and read through them quite quick, but it is quite handy to just read most of the chapter here. So Leviticus chapter 18 has a lot of vile affections in it. Leviticus 18 and from verse 1. Leviticus 18, 1 reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances." And we're Bible believers here, aren't we? Oh, everyone here is a Bible believer. God's standards don't change just because the outside world plunges further and further into debauchery. Okay, because the outside world, because the people that are basically influencing those around, at least the Western world, through mainstream media and other things, just because they go lower and lower and lower, we don't follow suit, do we? He said in verse 4, "You shall do my judgments to keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Now, this is referring to incest, okay? Incest. "The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness." This is stepmothers. "The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness." That's grandchildren. "The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness." That's a stepsister. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman." That's aunties. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt." That's uncles and aunties by marriage. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime." This is no family members of your spouse. "Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness." This is during certain times of month. "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbour's wife to defile thyself with her." That's adultery. "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." That's child sacrifice and blasphemy. And then verse 22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." So you've got all this wickedness. You've got incest. You've got even child sacrifice. But the one that's highlighted here, specifically, particularly, as an abomination to be highlighted above all the rest of them, an abomination is something of extreme hatred or something that God detests, is this, sodomy. He then says, "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." That's bestiality. "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you." And it does help you understand why some of these nations were literally wiped out and God called for them to be wiped out. "And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations." All abominations, there's one he singled out, wasn't there? "Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people." It's interesting, isn't it? Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Okay, so like I said, one was particularly highlighted, wasn't it there? Yes, they are all abominable. That's pretty clear. One was highlighted. And interesting how the souls were to be cut off from among their people. Go back to Romans 1. What is sodomy then? It's what the world calls homosexuality, what the Bible calls going after strange flesh. What are similar vile affections? Other strange flesh, such as incest, bestiality, paedophilia, necrophilia, all these disgusting type things, okay? Let's not even go through the list of them, really. I think everyone gets an idea. How bad is it then? Like we've been going through this series, how bad is it? Well, we just saw it in a list with all sorts of incest, child sacrifice, bestiality, and like I said, it's the one that was singled out as an abomination. Now, the what people will say, and you will have heard this, I'm sure, before, is, oh, but that was the Old Testament. Anyone heard that before? Yeah? Oh, well, that's either the Old Testament God, or that was back in the Old Testament. Well, that was back in those days, or something like that. Is incest now okay? Anyone heard incest? Because I haven't heard that repeated by Jesus in the Gospels about incest. Did he feel the need to repeat that? No. Is child sacrifice now okay? Funnily enough, the world does think that it's okay. Yeah, but when you put it like that, I'm sure they will try and deny, well, it's not child sacrifice, just having your baby murdered in your womb. But that's not okay. What about bestiality? Is that okay now? Oh, but Jesus didn't mention bestiality. Must be okay now, because he didn't bring it up. No, this stuff just goes without saying, doesn't it? Does this stuff not just go without saying? Surely. And Jesus didn't re-preach any of that, because if he did, the New Testament would be quite a bit bigger, wouldn't it? In fact, the New Testament would be pretty much the same size as the Old Testament. So, no, there was no need. It goes without saying. He never said, oh, but we've moved on from that. Oh, forget that. No, in fact, he said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said in Matthew 4:24-35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And words like we just saw in Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Jesus Christ said his words shall not pass away. And by the way, Jesus Christ is a word, and Jesus Christ wrote the Bible. So how bad is it? It's abomination. But this isn't a normal sin, okay? So this isn't the sort of sin that everyone here has to hopefully try their best to avoid committing. So this isn't the sort of thing that we kind of sit there and go, well, thank God someone's preaching on this because, you know, I was getting some temptations. I hope not. Because unlike the rest of the sins on our list, sodomy and similar vile affections are the result of a reprobate mind. They're the result of a reprobate mind. Did you go back to Romans 1? Look at verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Everyone is born with an innate knowledge of God, aren't they? Everyone has a knowledge of God to some degree. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So these people who have rejected God got puffed up and changed God in one way or another. Okay, what's the result? Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonour their own bodies between themselves. So the result is that God gave them up to this uncleanness. He's given up on them. Basically, there's no more conscience. Okay, their conscience is seared, it's done. They no longer have that God-given conscience. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And I preached this the other day that you see that with all real reprobate type sins you see in the Bible, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, change the truth of God into a lie, saying that Jesus possessed with the devil, taking away or adding to God's word, again, change the truth of God into a lie. We see it with you could even say, in a way, with the reprobation, with the mark of the beast, ultimately getting down and worshipping the Antichrist as if he's Christ, change the truth of God into a lie. For this cause, and obviously false prophets, what do? They change the truth of God into a lie, don't they? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. That's why God gave them up. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Their conscience is gone. They're now able to do these wicked, vile things. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. And just to make this very clear here, because there's a lot of brainwash about this subject. No matter how many sitcoms, soap operas and movies say otherwise, this isn't just some normal attraction. This isn't like a normal just heterosexual and just the other way around, okay? The Bible says here they burn in their lust one toward another. And if anyone's ever been around these sorts of people or even just heard any of the statistics on this sort of thing, the average amount of partners by these sorts of people is through the roof. The STDs are through the roof. The Bible is always right. And the Bible says they burn in their lust one toward another. I've heard some disgusting stories over the years of what goes on in some of these clubs and things where they have just rooms for these people to do all sorts of disgusting, wicked, vile things. They're not just saying, oh, I just want to marry a guy and live happily. I don't think there's such thing as a so-called marriage where there's nothing going on, you know, with other people behind the scenes, because they're burning their lust one toward another. It's disgusting. This isn't what the media tries to tell us it is. The recompense of what they get in return, I believe here, is just what they get in return for changing the truth of God, is this vile lifestyle. That's the recompense. This vile, disgusting lifestyle, burning in their lust one toward another. Like, what a terrible, terrible life to live, right? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They rejected God, changed him. So he said, okay, I'll give up on you too. There goes your God-given conscience, the law of God written on your hearts. It's pretty bad, right? How bad is it? It's a result of being given up on by God. It's a result of a reprobate mind. Okay, now, just a quick one on this, because people, you know, you get the questions on this. Look, I can imagine that there could be a case of maybe someone in their past getting drunk or high on drugs and doing some crazy stuff, because people sometimes do crazy stuff, right? Because of drug abuse, because of alcohol abuse as well. Okay, this is why we don't want to be anywhere near those sorts of things, yeah? Okay, they're wicked, the things that they do to people, okay? But people do some crazy stuff, okay? And I could maybe accept that there might be some people that have done some crazy stuff. Maybe they're what 1 Corinthians 6 calls abusers of themselves in mankind, maybe. I don't know. Well, what I do know is that someone burning in their lust one toward another is a sodomite, and they're a reprobate. They've been given over to that reprobate mind, okay? Now, normal people don't battle with this sin. Okay, normal people don't sit there going, I just need to really resist that sin. Okay, that's not normal. That's the result of a reprobate mind. That's the result of being given over to a reprobate mind. In the same way, normal people don't burn in their lust for their close family members. Okay, that's a reprobate mind. Normal people don't burn in their lust for animals. Does anyone think that normal people just have to try and fight that sin? I hope not. Normal people don't burn in their lust for children. Anyone think that's just something you just got to deal with, guys? Get some prayers on that on the group chat. No. Okay? It's all the result of a reprobate mind. Okay? The Bible's very clear about that, I believe. Okay? It's talking about a reprobate mind. Uncleanness. It's vile affections. Yeah? Now, the Bible says that this is the result of God giving them up to this uncleanness, to vile affections, being given over to a reprobate mind. Okay, and a reprobate mind is a rejected mind. Because some people don't understand this topic that much, okay? Some people kind of think, oh, well, someone's done that now, they're a reprobate. Oh, so that's like an unforgivable sin. No, no. Look, you don't do that sin. You don't burn in your lust for the same sex. You don't burn in your lust for children, for animals, for your aunt, your uncle, or any of that sort of stuff, unless you've been given over to a reprobate mind. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches. And that's being rejected by God. Turn to Deuteronomy 23 while I read Jeremiah 6:30, which says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." It's a rejection. A reprobate is someone rejected by God. So it's being rejected by God, not because they're a sodomite. They're a sodomite because they were rejected by God. And they were rejected by God ultimately because they rejected God. Okay, because they changed the truth of God into a lie. They're not born that way. That is a lie. That's a lie. There's no gay gene. Yes, there are some effeminate kids. And effeminacy isn't the same as being a queer. Okay, it's not the same. There is effeminacy, and sadly, a lot of queers are effeminate, okay? But it's not the same. So when you see someone that's like a little bit effeminate, it doesn't mean right 100% they must be. But look, a lot of the time it does go hand in hand, but it doesn't always, okay? And there will be children that sometimes, sadly, are raised and allowed to be a bit effeminate, because it's a sin, effeminacy. Effeminacy isn't the result of a reprobate mind. And parents, you're raising your kids. If they're being a bit effeminate for whatever reason, your young boys, you want to punish it out of them, right? Yeah, you correct them. You teach them how a man should behave, because that's what we're raising for manhood. You have a young girl that's acting like some sort of man, that's acting like some sort of brutish male. You teach them, you correct them. You might have to chastise them if it continues. You do what you need to do to correct your children, right? Okay, so that's effeminacy. That's separate. No one's born what the world story calls gay. Okay? And there's nothing happy about this lifestyle, by the way. Deuteronomy 23 says this. It basically says that they've been rejected by God so much that he rejects even any money to do with them, regardless of what good cause it could go to. Look at Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog." Okay, that's basically just interchange the word sodomite for dog. That's what the Bible calls them. "Into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." So yes, obviously that goes for the money from whoredom too. Okay, but we're focusing on something else here. Are we supposed to believe that we're to kick out fornicating whores like I've preached? The Bible's clear. Fornicators should be kicked out of the church, but sodomites are okay. Oh no, no, but sodomites are okay. He wouldn't accept the money in church here from selling a sodomite off to someone. So this might be somebody who's like, right, I don't want, you know, I've got some sodomite child here. I'm just going to flog him to like the Canaanites. Yeah, I've got some money. Let me put it in the offering. Let me put it in. I made a vow to God. If that ever happened, I was just going to sell him and get rid of him. Right? He's not even going to accept. He said, I don't even want that. I don't want that filthy money. Why? Why does he not want that? Because in the Old Testament, there is one way of dealing with these reprobates. Go back a couple of books to Leviticus chapter 20, which is on the front of our bulletin. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. Leviticus 20, 13 says this. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now, just to make it clear, we don't live under God's law in this nation. And no, we're not vigilantes, but God hasn't lightened up about this. God didn't have this as a law and then went, oh, well, you know, I've kind of moved on a bit from there. Maybe I just needed to watch a few more Will and Graces. Maybe I just need to sit down and watch, you know, some BBC queer characters on EastEnders a few more times to just really get me to lighten up about this issue. Maybe I just needed to, you know, maybe Jesus just needed some queer family members to help just water down his opinion on this a bit, right? No, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, same yesterday and today and forever. The same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. Yeah, he changes not. Go back to Romans 1. What is sodomy? What is sodomy? It's what the world calls homosexuality, what the Bible calls going after strange flesh. What are other vile affections, other strange flesh? We gave some examples, incest, bestiality, paedophilia, etc. How bad is it? It's an abomination. It's the result of a reprobate mind. They're called dogs in the Bible, and under God's law, they would be put to death. Pretty bad, right? So here's a question. If anyone's wondering, why is it a sin that gets you kicked out of church? Why is it a sin that gets kicked out of church? Because is there a Bible verse that says not to have these people mark and avoid, like maybe in Romans 16, 17? Or is there a Bible verse that says, you know, well, you know, have nothing to do with them, etc.? No, there isn't, because there shouldn't need to be, okay? There should be no reason to have a verse saying that, and I'm going to show you why. First off, we'll look at Romans 1. See, it's not just the uncleanness and vile affections. The Bible teaches that a reprobate mind, that's a mind without a conscience, also manifests in other ways too. Look at verse 29. It says, talking about these reprobates, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And they do know that they're worthy of death. How many people have tried to preach the gospel to a sodomite who's just turned around and said, I know I'm going to hell? Over half the room has got their hands raised. Over half the room has tried to preach the gospel and say, would you like to know how to go to heaven, to someone that it turned out was a sodomite, and they've turned around and said, no, I know I'm going to hell. They know. But aren't they best friend material? Aren't they best friend material for all you ladies out there? No, isn't it cool being a fag hag? Because, you know, they're just so funny, aren't they? They're so coarse. They're so vile. Aren't they just such good fun with their innuendos? Aren't they babysitting material? Aren't they? Because they're so good with kids. Because they're just so silly. Because they speak in weird childlike ways sometimes. Isn't that just you know, shouldn't we just get them in for the kids? They're just so great with children, aren't they? Well, let's look at a few of those characteristics we just saw there. Fornication. Fornication, that's the church discipline offence, isn't it? Apparently they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. They're filled with fornication. We kick out fornicators. Oh yeah, look. We're fornicate phobes as well here. Is that what they call them? No, we're not, because we're not scared of them. We're not phobic of them. But we do discriminate against fornicators in this church. People who are basically shacked up, living like married couples who aren't married, are not welcome in our church either. Yeah? Is there a word for that? I don't know. Maybe it's a fornicate phobe. Fornication phobic. What else? Wickedness. Covetousness. Wait a second, that's another one on our list, wasn't it? People who are covetous are to be kicked out of our church. We don't want the covetous, that's sadly a lot of the world, it seems, in our church. We don't want that type in our church. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, not to fellowship with them. No, not to eat with them. It says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And apparently, these people are filled with covetousness as well. What about this bit? Whisperers And then beginning of verse 30, backbiters, haters of God. Let's go with the whisperers and backbiters. That's division causing, isn't it? They're the division causers, the whisperers, the backbiters. The people who are trying to cause trouble in the church, whispering their own little views on things, trying to encourage other people into their own little sins, into their own ways of doing things, trying to whisper against the preaching, whisper contrary to it and everything else. Those people, we're told to mark and avoid. That means get them out of the church. These guys are filled with all of that. But the Bible says here that they're haters of God. Verse 30 said, haters of God. So why on earth would a hater of God want to be in a real house of God? Any ideas, anyone? Why would a hater of God want to be in a real house of God? Yes. The man over there in the dark tie. Go. It's not my daughter. Yeah, sorry, go on, Baba. Tear down the leadership. That's a good one. Any other reasons why someone who hates God would want to come into the house of God? Any other? Say again? Pray on children. Good one. Yeah, we're going to cover that in a minute. Praying on children. Anyone else? Curse Christians. Yes, sir.
Spread lies.
We've got a load here, haven't we? Okay, so there's a lot of reasons that someone who hates God might want to come into the house of God, but none of them are good reasons, are they? Do haters of God want to come in to worship God? I don't think so. They're haters of God. The Bible makes that clear. And what's funny is they make it clear. Anyone seen the protesters outside churches or anyone ever seen any of the placards and stuff they have at their pride parades and stuff? Oh, it's blasphemous. They hate God. They mock him. They say all these sorts of things. I remember reading about that wicked, vile sodomite. I always forget his name. The guy that was Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings. Anyone know his name? Any of the men know his name here? That's the one. The Scotsman at the back knew. Because he's a bit of a shame to Scotsman. Is it Ian McClellan? Is that it? Is it Ian? Sir Ian McClellan. Once stated that every time he stayed in a hotel, he reached for the Bible in the drawer, because they used to have them in the drawers of hotels, and ripped out Leviticus chapter 20. He ripped it out of every Bible of every hotel he went into. That's a man that hates the word of God. He hates God. They hate God. Anyone ever see that interview of that other notable sodomite, Stephen Fry? Yeah, hear how what he was saying about God. I mean, that is some hard viewing, isn't it? How dare you, he said he'd be saying to him when he comes across God. Good luck with that. Yeah, I'm sure you will, Stephen Fry. And God will be shaking in his boots, won't he? Amazing. I won't repeat the rest of what he said. No, they do hate God. So why would they want to be here? Well, yeah, causing trouble in one way or another, like we said. And praying on the weak. Oh, but they're just two consenting adults. What's the harm? That's what you hear, isn't it? What's the harm? They're just two consenting adults, aren't they? That's what people try and come out with. That's what, if you've ever talked about this with the unsaved or just the unchurched who are saved and just don't want to really follow the things of God and know what the Bible says. Well, in Genesis 19, they were surrounding a house, weren't they? They were surrounding a house wanting to beat down the door. In Judges 19, they're surrounding a house wanting to beat down a door. They're two of the most notable stories in the Bible. And Romans 1:29 said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Implacable, unmerciful. Romans 1:26 said, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. So is it any surprise that over 40% of known child abuse victims in this nation are male? Is that any surprise? Over 40% of known. And by the way, that's the sort of thing that probably doesn't get known as much, sadly, because it's so horrific for the victims of it that they don't even necessarily want to ever make it known. and put it in the public sphere and go to the authorities about it, over 40% are male. 40%. Yet in prison, those arrested for these sorts of offences against children, you've got literally 99.99% are male. Yet, apparently 2-3% of the nation is what they call homosexual. Is anyone noticing that the maths don't add up? The maths don't add up, do they? That 2-3% are responsible for over 50%. And by the way, a lot of them are responsible for the ones which aren't, for the ones that aren't male victims. But 2-3% are responsible for, for over 40% of the known child abuses, sexual abuses in this nation. That is horrific, isn't it? Like, sodomy throughout history has gone hand in hand with paedophilia. It's always been, up until very recently in this country, you had public service broadcasts warning people of sodomites, warning children of those types of people. Everyone knew that, okay? It always has throughout. If you look at those past civilizations, it was the young boys is what they especially wanted. That's what they, these people are predators. The Bible makes it clear these people are predators. Yet you have actual so-called, it seems, Christians, saved men of God in this nation and others trying to get them into their church. How Bible illiterate are you proving yourself to be, or how wicked are you proving yourself to be? It's one of the two, isn't it? To actually try and encourage these people into the house of God. Now, you might be sitting there now going, Brother Ian, you can't say all this. What about equality? What about equality? I'm glad you asked. Because I had a look at equality in this nation, which I found quite interesting. The Equality Act says this. It says a religious organisation can do the following things. Exclude you from participation in certain activities or services they offer. Restrict membership of the organisation. Restrict the use of its premises if the organisation can show it's necessary because of its religious aims. Or to avoid offending people who share its religious aims. It's not unlawful discrimination. So let's put this out to a vote then. Who here would be offended, if we allowed sodomites in here? If you don't have your hand out, you we got a couple of two. Hey? All of God's people, say amen. 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 We've got a church full of people who would be offended if we had those sorts of people in this house of God. And we'll always have that, because over my dead body will we ever have those sorts of people in this church to pray on our children, to pray on the weak in this church, to cause strife in this church, to do who knows what in this church. And we have a house of Christians that agree. Praise God for that. It said here, for example, a church could say only members of their religion can attend a church-run toddler group. How about a church service? Or at least people that could be part of their religion, yeah? Where the parents meet to discuss their faith. If you're not able to attend a toddler group because you're not a member of that religion, you couldn't complain about unlawful discrimination here. But if the religious organisation is providing a service on behalf of a public authority like a local council, they're not allowed to discriminate against you because of your sexual orientation or religion or belief. Local council events, anyone? Not in your life. Solved. Solved. And if anyone else maybe watches this or is sitting there thinking, but Brother Ian, you can't say... Have I said anything that's not in the Bible? Anyone hear me say anything that's not clear in the Bible here today? It's all in the Word of God. So if they want to discriminate against us because of what the Bible says, or what people throughout history have believed, in this nation, they believed what the Bible says up until very recently, then so be it. But I'm preaching the Bible, aren't I?
Amen.
Turn to 2 Peter 2. Whilst you're turning there, I'm going to read about a few of the righteous kings of Judah. Your turn to 2 Peter 2. 1 Kings 15 says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Oh, what did Asa do? And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. 1 Kings 22 says of Jehoshaphat, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people often had burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. So it's like Asa got rid of them, but there were some that managed to loiter, maybe hang around, get back in, some remaining man. He got rid of them because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 23 says of Josiah from verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And verse 7 says, and he brake down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. He didn't just get rid of them. Oh no, that wasn't enough for Josiah. He broke down the houses too. He didn't want any trace of them near the house of God. That was a righteous, godly king. That's what the Bible says was a righteous, godly king. He followed after the commandments of God, and he broke down their houses because they have a way of getting into religion. They have a way of getting into, sadly, false religion as well. They're everywhere. And they like to prey on people, and Christians are generally nice people. Yeah, we generally, look, don't get me wrong, we all have sin to battle with, but a lot of people want to try and be kind, they want to be loving, they want to be accepting, they want to give people the benefit of the doubt. That's how we should be, that's how we preach we should be, and that's why Sodomites like to come into the house of God. And that righteous king broke down the houses that were anywhere near it. And we can't do that here, that would be a criminal offence. But what you do have instead is so-called pastors claiming to be welcoming to these reprobates. What on earth is that? How do you read the Bible? How can you read the Bible? Do they read the Bible? Maybe they don't read the Bible. They claim to be Bible-believing churches, and they're trying to welcome them in, yet Josiah was smashing down any houses, any remnant of them anywhere near. Can you imagine being in a church like that? Imagine being in a church like that. Imagine sitting in a church like that. Imagine sitting in a church where there's known sodomites in the church. Probably better that they're known. You could say, better that at least you're aware and you can keep your children away. You can't say that. The Bible says that they're predators, doesn't it? 2 Peter 2 says of Lot, living amongst these people, that he was, in verse 7, vexed with the filthy conversation, that's behaviour, of the wicked. He was vexed with it. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, in case you're sitting there going, wait a second, wasn't that Lot that offered his two daughters? Why was he righteous? Because he was saved, because he had faith in Jesus Christ. This was a wicked, backslidden Christian, though. This guy was so backslidden, he was hanging around in Sodom, calling them his brothers, offering his daughters to them. And the end of his life, we're not even going to go into, because we've gone into too much wickedness already today. But that was a wicked guy. But ultimately, he was righteous because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And as having the Holy Spirit, well, maybe he wasn't indwelt, but being a righteous man living amongst him, let alone us, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, can you imagine how much that would vex you? And how much that even vexed Lot, backslidden Lot, living in Sodom because he saw the well-watered plains and thought, well, I'll get a bit more money going that way. Vexed with the filthy, filthy conversation, that's behaviour of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And I hope no one here has to be around these people too often, but doesn't it vex you? Doesn't it vex your soul being around those types of people? Doesn't it just, it just makes you sick when you have to be around it? Can you imagine coming to church every week? And people are just queering away like Billy-O. Could you imagine it? Just queering away, you know, and chatting about, you know, all their, you know, what they've been doing. But there are churches out there that think that that's acceptable. let alone all the other reasons that we just talked about. Now, he chose to live in that place, but we have the choice too, don't we? Yeah, we have the choice. The leadership of a church has a choice. The Equalities Act makes it clear we have a choice. And if they, and by the way, regardless of what that said, we would still be making that choice, okay? Because God's law trumps whatever wicked laws of the land, you know, are brought upon us next. But interestingly, we do still have the choice. And our choice is, I'll follow God, thank you very much, and not the propaganda in this wicked world that we live in, coming out of Hollywood, coming out from a load of queers. What is sodomy? It's what the world calls homosexuality and what the Bible calls going after strange flesh. What are other vile affections, other strange flesh, such as, well, let's not even go into them, we've all heard it. The sodomy's bad enough. It's all bad. How bad is it? An abomination. It's an abomination, the result of a reprobate mind. They're called dogs, and under God's law, they would be put to death. Why is it a sin that gets you kicked out of church? Well, it's a manifestation of a reprobate mind. That's what I'm hopefully you've understood from today. Okay? It's the manifestation of a reprobate mind, which includes many other disqualifying tendencies, as we've seen as well. The haters of the true God, they can't be saved. They've been rejected. They've been given up on. They're predators that are a danger to the vulnerable. Their behaviour vexes God's people. And I hope if you're not vexed by their behaviour, read your Bible more and it will start vexing you. And I'm not saying we should. That's our goal, but that's what happens. The more you read, the more you grow as a Christian, the more it vexes you. And just quickly before we finish, in case you're wondering after all that, no, it's not a sin you can get restored from, okay? Okay, and it's something that we will prevent someone coming in and being involved in our church because of all those reasons we said, and because we're perfectly within our rights to do that. Well, whether we were or not, we would do that, but we are within our rights. And I'm within my rights to preach the word of God, and that's what we've just preached here. And it's not something that you can recover from. You've been given over to a reprobate mind, that's you done, okay? You might as well go down to most of the churches probably around this area and go and hang around there if what you really want to do is go and hang around in a church. Okay, but I'm sure there aren't here. I don't want to start saying that. But if in the future we get someone come in like that, I would hope that they, you know, we'd just quickly recognise that. And if someone is clearly what the world calls a homosexual, they're not welcome in this church. Okay, so just remember that when you start inviting your cousins and, you know, uncles, aunties and all the rest of it, yeah? There's a simple queer test you can do, yeah? Nah, let's not go into it. Okay, so sins that get you kicked out of church. Sodomy and similar vile affections. Nice to have a little smile now and again, because that's a pretty grim subject, isn't it? But it's a subject that needs to be preached, and it's something that obviously is part of things that disqualify you from church. I hope that I've made that clear today. I hope you've all understood that. This evening, we'll hopefully have some lighter sermons. On that, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for just the clarity that we get from your word in what seems to be such a muddled, confused, dark and hazy world out there. Lord, thank you that we can just open the word of God and just get some sense. Just read some sense, read the truth. The ultimate truth that doesn't change. You don't change. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we're not guessing. We're not like some of these other so-called religious folk that always seem to be guessing and making up what their so-called God must feel nowadays. No, you don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we can just be grounded upon that rock. Please help us to just be a strong church, Lord. Help us to protect us, Lord, from these types of people that want to come in and defile people, Lord, and help us to just be strong, Lord, in what will be probably more and more attacks because of these sorts of issues, among others. And Lord, help us to get out and get people saved, Lord, as well today. And you know, prevent those from getting to that point where maybe they would be given over to a reprobate mind as well. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen.